c'est one, c'est two, c'est three.
Darling, I love you very, very, very much, and I really am relying on your touch. But with all these people listening in, I don't know where I ought to begin. Maybe we could hit upon a word, something that the others haven't heard. When you
hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Chris and Dave, and it's time to dig into some McCartney, and we're going to look back at an album that comes from, I've said it before on the podcast, but I've called it his lost period, kind of like most classic rockers kind of had problems in the 80s. I think we've mentioned before that, you know, Bob Dylan had some of his worst music in the 80s, Elton John, a lot of people were just really off, and yeah. Paul, after Paul did Tug of War, it was sort of a drought for a while. And so this album, Press to Play, from August 25th, 1986, was intended, would you say, intended to be hip or kind of do what was current?
McCartney had a critical misstep with Give My Regards to Broad Street. And a couple times in his career, he's had something like that. And then he's come... he's tried to resuscitate his career by finding a hitmaker type producer.
Right.
With varying degrees of success. This time he went to this guy, Hugh Padgham, if you don't know, as a producer, lumped in with Phil Collins.
I think he also did Synchronicity of the Police, I believe.
Yeah, Police and a lot of Sting solo albums, too.
Yeah.
So some popular 80s stuff, In the Air Tonight being probably the biggest both hit and innovation because of the, which you'll hear on this album, a sort of filtered drum technique.
Yeah.
At any rate, he brought Hugh Padgham in. He also worked with Eric Stewart of 10cc. 10cc is the band, if you're not that familiar with them, did the hit song I'm Not in Love. Phil Collins himself can be
yes
found on this album, which is strange because in the news recently came out a story that Phil Collins and Paul McCartney don't get along.
Yeah, they haven't been speaking, right? It's been a long feud here, long-running feud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also guesting on this album is Carlos Alomar, the guitarist, best known from also in the 80s working with David Bowie, someone yeah. in the 70s, a little bit in the 80s, David Bowie. Kind of a strange guitarist. There's a lot of strange guitar on this album.
Yeah, there is. Sure. I mean, this whole idea of, if you think what had just happened before Press to Play, immediately, as you mentioned, was the flop, Give My Regards to Broad Street. And then before that, you had the two other George Martin albums with Pipes of Peace and Tug of War. And so I guess the formula had run out, or maybe Paul, after that big flop, had to do something different. And the other example that you mentioned when you're talking about when Paul has a bad album, he follows up with trying to be hip. I'm thinking, I remember when he worked with Nigel Godrich on... Chaos and Creation in the backyard.
Yeah.
That was another, like, let's just get this hip Radiohead guy to try to give me some ideas and put things together. And that one worked, I think, pretty well. This one, yeah. on the other hand, has some problems. So,
well, one of the biggest problems I have with this album as a whole, just to speak generally about it,
yeah.
is, well, obviously the production, you know, and that's kind of unavoidable. I
yeah.
guess
from the
from
80s,
anything recorded in this time, but it's sort of the opposite of McCartney, in that there's very little great McCartney playing instruments and playing, it's mostly him doing the vocals out of his range.
Yeah.
And other people playing the very overproduced instruments. So yeah. That hinders the album, I think, quite a bit.
I think we'll get it out of the way that, yes, it sounds dated, but that's, we can't help that. It's a period piece that was the sound at this time. So
yeah,
not much we can do with that. But the songwriting we'll definitely get into, as well as some of the other instrumental choices and production choices. The album cover is actually pretty nice. I think it's a vintage looking photo of Paul and Linda in very sultry black and white, and it was taken by an old Hollywood photographer of the 30s and 40s, and so I think it's a pretty classy cover. But does it really give you any indication of what you're going to hear? Because that's kind of like the complete opposite vibe that he's going for on the album.
Yeah, I would expect So Bad to be on this album or something.
Yeah.
A lot of romantic songs. There are a couple sort of romantic songs.
Yeah, sort of.
And a lot of real, real weird songs.
Yeah, exactly. Something we could think about here, a friend of the show, Kit O'Toole, has mentioned in a blog post, I believe, that she feels Press to Play laid the groundwork for some of Paul's experimental works with the Fireman and some of the stuff that he did after this period. And I'll be curious to hear your thoughts either now or later on that point.
Yeah, I read that too. And she said that it's his most adventurous album.
Right.
And I don't think that's untrue. But whether or not the adventures make any sense or any good, we'll discuss.
Yes.
We'll discuss track by track.
Yes, sounds good. So let's go to it. So the album starts off with a bang, with a song called Stranglehold. And I should mention that almost over half the songs are co-written too, which is something that up to this point McCartney hadn't really done very much. Even in Wings, he was really mainly writing his own songs. And then even the Tug of War was with a few guests here and there. But this is actually more of a collaboration. And Eric Stewart is playing, or is listed as co-author, including on this song, Stranglehold. So Stranglehold, what's your thought? You're a big fan of that saxophone sound?
Yeah, jazz saxophone.
Yeah.
Always good. It's not bad. Of course, it was a colossal hit, hitting number 81 in the U.S. and not even being bothered to be released in the U.K. It's not bad. Not a bad one as comparatively to the other songs of this album.
Yeah.
It's sort of an odd mix of keys, though. Like, it goes into a, I can wait, blah, 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 and sort of like in a different key.
Yeah.
Like, not what you'd expect the bridge to be in. Yeah, and there's a lot of weirdo kind of lyrics. I guess we can skip the preamble.
Because you have to find something to rhyme with, "Are you willing to take such a gamble?" So, of course, yeah. You need preamble as a good couplet there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this one's got some genuine playing of instruments on it.
Yeah, good bass.
Not bad, good bass, sort of a peppy song. So at least you could see where they'd release it as a single.
Yeah, I was just going to say, at least it has some energy. It's a pretty good opener for that reason.
The next tune on the album, "Good Times Coming" / "Feel the Sun." So let's hear. We could just discuss just the intro of this.
But. Yes.
Well, Dave's just going to yell Geronimo and dive into the analysis of this one. What did you think?
Yeah. I have weird memories of this whole album because it was one of the first ones when I was a kid, and it was the first Paul McCartney album that was new that I got. And I do remember liking this a lot for some reason at the time. Now I think it doesn't hold up as well. The both songs are related in terms of their lyrical content. I guess they're talking about a kind of a nostalgic in some way, and the sun, feel the sun shining on you, and thinking about the good times that happened summer so long ago. So I like the nostalgic part of it, but it's just the musically just kind of weird and doesn't work.
Well, there's that chanty sort of intro.
Yeah, with the kids like out at the beach or something.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the song. It's like that didn't exist. It doesn't really attach to anything.
No.
The drums throughout it are that very processed sort of 80s drum recording, which you'd hear on. It reminds me of like dozens of different 80s album tracks.
Yes.
So I'm not going to super duper blame anybody for that, but it's not the greatest sound in the world.
No.
Some of the... he's singing so high on it, and then they get to that "I'm loving you now" section, and it's just too high for me. It like, does not work.
And he's trying to have the guitar answer him with these little boo, boo, little falling lines. Right when he's way up in the high. It's like too very trebly, very high. Yeah.
Yeah, a very rowdy strained kind of guitar solos, too, in it. Probably very digital processing. It reminds me of like having bought a new digital thing to plug my guitar into and being like, ooh, this will be cool, and then going through it, and it sounds all very, very processed.
And it pans. Doesn't it pan back and forth, too, on when you hear the bom, bom, bom? It goes back from left to right speakers, too. That was very 80s as well.
Now the "Feel the Sun" section's okay. It's more of a regular McCartney. You know, he's singing louder than the good times coming. And then it just sounds like Paul McCartney during the "Feel the Sun" section. And but that's like one of his classic sort of half idea songs.
Yes, it's like exactly.
Like something that didn't happen, and a couple like that they've just kind of put together.
Yep.
It's not the worst song though, and it made Pure McCartney.
Yeah.
So which the hit song Pressed did not.
No.
I think Paul probably likes it, maybe a little bit more than I do, but not the worst song in the world.
No.
The worst song in the world might be this thing that we're about to play.
Yeah.
Talk about odd intro. Just the intro alone is like 50 seconds of craziness. Mm-hmm. We're going to play the full intro and then we'll play a little bit of the song. And we're going to talk and chat more chats about it. So here's Talk More Talk. Begin, Dave.
Yeah.
Where to begin?
Wow. Well, that's Talk More Talk. Yeah, where to begin is right. Let's start with the
5 minutes and 18 seconds.
Yeah,
this thing
the
is.
Length is a problem because you could easily cut the spoken dialogue at the beginning and the end of the song.
I can make no sense of it. Some of the phrases. Sleazy instruments, half talked, half baked ideas, and it's like people's voices slowed down or something.
More processing going on.
The window was open. Outside was a spaceship. What are they talking about? What does this have to do with anything? And it's so serious. The music is like, doom, doom. Oh no, what's about to happen? And then it's just like, that's it.
Yeah,
let's sing our crazy song.
Yeah, you think it's trying to be? I'm guessing the best stab I can make at it is he's trying to be really surrealistic and sci-fi kind of, sort of otherworldly, coming up with things just word association that doesn't mean anything. It just sounds interesting. Like, here's one verse: developed since earlier days at the school, cheapest sensations were used as a rule, outstanding to memory, major free flow, biodegradable lookout below.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like random association.
Sounds kind of like nonsense to me.
Yeah.
Very dumb. And then you mixing that with talk more talk, chat more chat.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's pronouncing it chat.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what key this is into? Because it sounds like Paul singing the harmony part that doesn't, the lead part doesn't exist.
No, I was going to say that too, that I didn't really notice it until really focusing just that point, that the background vocals and the regular vocals are just all over the place. What's the tune on that at all?
And then it hits that, you heard a little bit of that happy to do it for you.
Yeah, which goes on and on.
It comes back again later and it goes, happy to do it for you. And it just keeps going like, happy to do it for you. Yeah.
Comes a riff.
It's like, oh man, we're really rocking out on happy to do it for you. It's just terrible. It's one of my, the ending's insanely long.
Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest problem with it is it. Plus, it's crazy music, overproduced, over percussioned.
Yeah.
But my biggest problem with this is I listen to this album and then this song sticks in my head. I can't stop hearing talk more talk as I'm doing my dishes and stuff, and I'm angry at myself.
It's a bad earworm.
Yeah. Yes.
The kind you don't want.
This might be my least favorite Paul McCartney song.
Yeah. It's definitely up there for sure, or down there maybe.
Down there. Pretty bad. Pretty bad.
It's followed up by another Stewart or McCartney and Stewart collaboration. This one sounds quite different than what's come before it, and it's called Footprints.
Outside, an old man gathers wood. Can you see me sitting here? His mind is somewhere else. His friends have flown away. He's left out in the cold.
So, what do you think of Footprints?
Well, it's a decent song. Not that memorable.
Yeah.
Lyrically, it seems like it's trying and almost accomplishing kind of a similar thing to Eleanor Rigby.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song about loneliness, but in this instance, we're getting a bunch of white blankets. White blanket somehow equals loneliness and, you know,
sadness.
But musically, not too bad. Acoustic, more of an acoustic tune with good percussion in it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's these dissonant keyboards, like weird kind of sounds. And sometimes those sound pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Other times, distracting. There's a real weird low keyboard noise solo, though, in it.
Oh,
So that's weird.
Yeah.
A good acoustic solo going out of it. The bridge is pretty decent, so not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, this song reminds me of Distractions on Flowers in the Dirt. It has that same kind of Latin feel. A little bit, the acoustic nature of it. I like on this one, Paul, he sings high, but he's got a little bit of a rasp in his voice, which I like. When he says, "Footprints never go," he's got like a little bit of grit, which is nice, as he did on Distractions, too. So I like this one, actually. I think it's pretty interesting musically, and I don't know, the lyrics are weird, and a lot of white blankets. But
yeah. Too much white blanket.
Too much white
otherwise,
blanket.
You know, not too bad.
And
not
then it becomes a snow white blanket after that. But yeah, but I'd say not bad. It's certainly one of the better ones so far, and it redeems the album after Talk More Talk.
So, for sure. Now another love tune, a slower love tune here comes up next. Only Love Remains. Let's hear a little bit of that. All that stays, only love. What do you think of Only Love Remains, Dave?
Well, this is the song that closes side one on the album. And this is seems like the kind of McCartney song that he could write when he was drunk or half asleep or, you know, with the minimum of effort on this completely. it just, yeah, I guess a nice melody, but for me, very cliche, very ponderous in the middle. It gets into this really overproduced section where the strings are... The bridge is just so syrupy and the strings are going and heavy echoey reverb drums. I just... Yeah, overproduced.
It's like trying to be the part of the movie where the guy kisses the girl and they go on a walk or something.
Yes, exactly.
And we get that love song sort of drum, like... Boom, boom, tick,
yeah.
You know, like... Yeah. Like you've heard in a million... love songs. It's just very kind of paint by numbers.
That's what my biggest problem is. Very cliche, and I don't want to say it's dreck, but it's certainly not going to be in my top McCartney songs at all.
The piano's, I mean, it's a bit sappy for sure.
Yes.
The piano's pretty decent, but the keyboards aren't.
No.
The keyboards bother me.
Wow, wow, and, wow.
Yeah. Oh, quack, quack. And then, but the craziest thing in this whole song, though, is right at the end.
Oh, yes.
Where we get the whistle out to resolve the chord.
Yep. The whistle, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not a very good one for me at all. So, but it really makes me just so excited to turn the record over.
Oh,
for the big
and you'll be thrilled by what's on the contents thereof,
because it was the big hit, right?
Yeah, Press,
sort of the title song here.
Okay, there's so much to talk about Press here.
Yes,
we heard it. We're not going to play it now because we heard it to open the show. Of course, let's start with the intro. What do you think of say one, say two,
and then the tape loop of the person going, huh, 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 huh.
Oh, yeah, there's this crazy backup processed vocal. I guess they ran it through a keyboard or something.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. Yeah. The guitar on this one's really tinny.
Yeah.
And just, I think this is a Carlos Alomar solo too. It's just like,
sounds like it.
Wild. It sounds like, you know, in some of the David Bowie concerts, it's got like spiked up hair.
Oh yeah.
It's like, it's just being in there with his spiked up hair. Just go. And then of course, Oklahoma.
Oh, lyrically.
Is never like this.
Could that now, be his worst lyric ever?
Maybe. But guess what, Dave? I've done some extensive research.
Oh, yeah?
And online, on songmeanings.com, I've got the best ever explanation of Press.
Okay.
This is a guy who's... this is the internet. And B, this is just a guy who's posting. So who knows if it's legit or not.
Yeah.
But this guy, Barrett Johnson of Salisaw, Oklahoma... says, hello, everyone. Please believe what I'm going to tell you is the truth. And my family can verify every one of these details.
Okay.
That's usually a bad sign.
Yeah.
But in December 1985, my family and I were in the London Underground at Christmas time, late one evening. We were in a small group at the station, I believe Piccadilly Station. There was a man sitting nearby within earshot of the tube map of the wall. I was explaining to my mother who had never been to London the way to find her way back to Piccadilly Station if we got lost. And to open the doors to the train, we mentioned to push the press button on the subway train itself, further explaining not to fret, but to remember those directions. She was frightened and unsure. However, after waiting a long time for the train, we were going to try to test it out. And waiting a long time for the train, no one arrived at the station. We discussed out loud while waiting the benefits of train service in a city within cities and comments regarding that one day, hopefully, Oklahoma would have
okay.
something like this. We decided we're not going to get on the train, forget it, and we decided to leave the station. Upon turning from the tube map wall, we walked immediately past a middle-aged man dressed in a long gray wool overcoat. His head was turned downward until we passed. As we passed him, we lifted his head and spoke a courteous hello to each other. We all looked to each other and said, "That was Paul McCartney, wasn't it?" We all looked back at him and confirmed with another glance it was him. Not until hearing this track from Press to Play album the following year did we place his text used in the single Press with the words and topics we spoke about standing next to him. And then some guy, and in there it goes on a little bit.
Yeah.
And then some guy responded, "Well, that's the best explanation I've heard."
That's about it.
Otherwise, it makes no sense.
No, because that's an interesting story. It does seem a little too true to be made up. I don't know. It's
yeah.
So that lyric in context is. So this is a love song about, you know, massage maybe, or who knows. "You can give me what I want, I must confess. My body needs attention, my mind is in a mess. Oklahoma was never like this." Yeah, so pretty weird. Press. It's catchy, I'll give it that. It's so busy, to quote Chris. It's so busy musically with like 40 different layers of things going on and loops and processed drums and Now I will say that video that the video is very cool. If you've never seen the video, Paul's like an everyman walking around the tube, getting off and on the trains and talking to people, and they're surprised to see him. And it's a pretty cool video.
He's not skulking under a coat like he was before when he got the material.
No.
Oh, yes, that's it.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it kind of sounds like the video.
Yeah.
With that guy's story. Like,
yeah, it does.
He's walking around and getting on and off the train. And
yeah. It's pretty cool.
People are smiling at him, and he's, you know, hugging people here and there, that kind of thing. So pretty cool.
Yeah,
not a bad song. I never hated Press.
No.
It's just crazy.
Yeah,
and it doesn't make any sense.
There's far worse, and it is pretty catchy. Released in July of '86 and was the album's sole top 30 hit. Didn't do all that well, but at least it charted a little bit. So there's something.
Also, if you're like me and you love McCartneyisms. Towards the end, he's like just throwing in like a little bit higher, a little bit lighter.
Yes. Yeah. So pretty good tune there, and then it's followed up by another weird one. Yeah.
So let's get serious.
Let's
everybody.
Get very serious as we listen to "Pretty Little Head." Back to the sci-fi theme here, I guess.
Yeah. Dave, do you remember an episode we did, episode 80? It was Paul's silliest songs, where we had different categories of the silliness. And one of those categories was sound serious, but actually isn't.
This would fit perfectly.
This would fit perfectly. He just thinks, like, this song is, like, so super serious and profound. People are, but what the hell is this song about?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I don't know, because hillmen are sworn to allegiance, living a life of silent dignity. For your protection, only so you don't worry, you pretty little head.
And then, of course, Ursa Major, Ursa Minor.
But why is it in this song?
I don't know. The song, and it has it's a dramatic song, but the ending's even more dramatic.
Like,
it really ramps up their drama. It's like explosions and stuff. It's crazy. I do kind of like this song, though, despite itself. The crazy layers of electronics, for some reason, kind of work for me here.
Uh-huh.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a dramatic moment in like a cool episode of like Miami Vice or something.
Oh yeah, that's true. It does. I could see that, which was a big hit at that time. So
yeah. So not the worst thing in the world to listen to, but if you're trying to dig in and get some meaning, you know. And I know how you feel. You know, we've differed in the past on things like Admiral Halsey, where there's some nonsense going on, but the music sounds good. I tend to like them better than you do, but it's really maybe too. It's just by comparison to some.
Well, that could be better than Talk More Talk.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
For sure, and maybe better than. I mean, any more thoughts on Pretty Little Head here?
I'd say the less said, the better on that one for me.
It's also probably. This next song came up on a shuffle one day and prompted me to text Dave with a text that said, just what the hell was McCartney trying to accomplish on this? and that song is Move Over Busker. I feel like Mae West did a sweaty vest after I listened to it.
Or maybe Errol Flynn in a tiger skin.
Who's Nell Gwynn?
Yeah, who's Nell Gwynn and her oranges?
Nell Gwynn, I guess, is an actress and mistress of King Charles II.
Oh.
So that's a really great reference that everybody knows.
Yeah. Especially your American audience, I'm sure.
Pete Townsend's on that one.
Yeah.
Playing the what I think is terrible guitar intro. Now, what the hell does the bridge have to do with the rest of the song, too, on this one? It just goes off in a crazy direction.
Yeah, well, this was another McCartney-Stewart collaboration, so maybe it was two songs fused together again or something.
Yeah. And you think, oh, it goes off in a crazy direction and think like, oh, that's weird that bridge is in that thing.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, they've done a key change.
They do. Yeah.
A nutso key change.
Yeah.
And when they go that sort of strange direction about halfway through the song too, he goes from like singing regular to singing sort of like he does on rock show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. right.
I just have a note here. It just says, what the hell is going on?
What's going on? Yeah. So a busker. A busker's a person who plays for money in a subway or train station or something. And so he's saying, move over, your day is done. You've got it coming. I'll bang my drum. And then he talks, then somehow we have Errol Flynn and Mae West and, yeah, just nonsensical again.
Why is he upset with people trying to make a buck on the train?
I know.
Station. He's obsessed with train stations, too. Like, he's just like walking around brooding, walking around London.
Yeah.
Worried about all the ills.
Come on, yeah. Well, it pales, though, in comparison to the vigor and anger of the next song.
Oh,
called
boy.
Angry.
Here we go.
Yes,
here,
with some more Phil Collins and some Pete Townsend on this one. So let's dig into Angry.
I'm angry just listening to you,
yeah.
Song.
So, Angry, another McCartney Stewart composition.
Oh, what a rocker, huh, Dave? Woo!
In case you forgot that Paul could be a screaming Paul here, you've got Angry on this one. Can you think of another song that he does this kind of vocalism or that has that kind of fake anger in it?
I mean, it kind of sounds like Cut Me Some Slack a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Cut Me Some Slack is much, much better than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like so trying to be a rocker and trying to have this in. Like, who is he mad at? The press?
The fans? I don't know. The
fans? I don't know. Why? It's some of the worst singing of his career,
yeah.
If you ask me. Crazy recitative delivery, as if it's like the Mikado or something. You know? I don't know what is happening. It's like a bad song in the middle of a play.
Yeah.
Like, we go ahead and pad out this play.
Yeah.
With the one more song. We got to have something for the guy who can't sing in the cast. So let's just let's have him just like sort of talk sing.
Yeah, talks.
Crazy yeah. Lyrics too, like the call and response, of course, on the phrase.
I'm sick and tired of hearing, sitting back and listening to all of your claptrap.
Claptrap.
If you could get me to take the rap, I guarantee you'd leave me with a back slap.
Back slap. Oh yeah. We're like, woo. I also want to read you the spelling. You know, usually you don't care about spelling, but in the lyric sheet here inside of the record, shouting down again, mama. Mama is spelled M-A-H-M-A-H-A-M-A.
Mahama.
Mama. Mahama. Shouting down again, Mahama. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy song. The drums are all right. The guitars or whatever are fine, but it's...
Yeah.
Right. Oh, boy.
Well, mercifully, the album proper comes to a close with the next song, which is the last one. And it's another Stuart McCartney and Stuart co-collaboration here, and it's called However Absurd.
You call a song absurd, Dave, does that give you license to just write any kind of crazy lyric you want that makes no sense, like say breaking eggs in a dish, and somehow it's profound?
Yeah, very profound. I think it must give you license. Custom-made dinosaurs, too late now for a change. Everything is under the sun, but nothing is for keeps. Yeah, again, I didn't realize how bad some of this album is. I've had a nostalgic feel about it, because I remember when it came out. But it just, upon second listening, it just, I don't know, this doesn't work.
Near the end of this song, he sings absurd, but he kind of like goes, absurd.
He sounds a little joyzy.
Like one time in it. Listen carefully to that, because that's funny. For some reason, this song doesn't bother me as much as the other one that do, even though that, once again, complete nonsense.
Yeah.
Which I also said about Pretty Little Head. It kind of strikes me similar. One thing I do like is the interesting sort of treated vocals on this one.
Yes.
I think that's a pretty cool effect. And as much as I've made fun of the whole album and some of it doesn't work at all for me, I do like that he's trying extremely different vocal sounds on this album, all across the board.
That's true.
Like this compared to like Footprints, for instance, complete night and day.
Yeah, you know?
But some of it's just like out of his range, and some things like that. But I like his vocals on this one.
Yeah.
So I get kind of friend of the show, Kid O'Toole's, likes this one, and I think that elements like that are what she's looking at probably and saying like, oh, there's some positives in this in this album.
Oh yeah.
But it's a stretch to say it's a good album.
I would agree.
It's definitely not. Now let's talk briefly about the bonus tracks and then we'll play one of them to go out.
Yes. If you had the original CD, which I do have here, you got three extra tracks, and the first one was called Right Away. And that's a little pun because it's not R-I-G-H-T-E, but it's Right, W-R-I-T-E, so Right Away. And it's about love letters and writing a letter to someone.
Yeah, there's Cinderella's referenced in the song.
Yeah.
Margaritas are referenced in the song. The odd cobbled together of real instruments and very, very treated ones.
Yep.
Relatively cool drums, weak guitar sound. Lots of yeah-yeahs at the beginning, and I hate the background.
That sums it up.
Sums it up, but so not, you know,
yeah.
It's a good, it's as far as all of these, as far as bonus tracks go, it's like, oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah. We're going to skip the next one because we're going to go out with it. We could talk about it after this. The final song here was called Tough on a Tightrope. And I remember reading way back when this came out, an issue of Beatle Fan Magazine that had a review of it, and it said, it was something along the lines of, unfortunately, we've heard this song too many times before. Very generic and nothing to speak of here. Is that how you feel about
extremely
tough on a tightrope?
Forgettable lyrics?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the big thing on that one. And maybe two of the worst solos I've heard.
Yeah.
Just like
terrible.
Like, what is this?
Yeah.
So I don't like that one at all.
No.
But I do kind of. Oh, and if you bought this in the in England, when they did a reissue of the Paul McCartney collection, not the currently running. I don't know if it's over now because of the thing, but not the re-releases recently.
Right.
But back previous to that, maybe in
early
the
90s. Yeah.
They also added Spies Like Us and Once Upon a Long Ago, which would increase
would
the value of wanting to purchase this.
Yes.
The other bonus track I kind of like. there's some quiet sort of like sections of it where it's just vocals and weird bass, kind of that Lou Reed 80s bass we've been talked about. A song called It's Not True. Probably should have made the album, I think.
It's better than some of the album tracks.
Yeah. It's got a great sax solo in it. Mm-hmm. And I just love it being like, some people say she's a loser.
Or, yeah, they say my girl's a mad girl. Yeah, there's some pretty funny lyrics in there.
Yeah, so we'll play that to go out. But overall, press to play, Dave. We walked you down memory lane.
Yes, we did.
What's your verdict? What's your verdict? Scale of 1 to 10.
Scale of 1 to 10, I'll give this one a 4.
Yeah, I'm going to go 4 too. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, unfortunate. Just trying too hard, maybe in some ways, to be current and hip. And I think in that way, they spent more time on the production than the actual songs and the quality of the songs.
Yeah, it just seems like a weak effort, crazy lyrics at times, a lot of experimentation gone awry.
Yeah.
Too many guest artists that always kills albums to me. Yes. You know, we've talked about that on Ringo many, many, many times. And good God, Talk More Talk.
Yes.
And Talk Angry. More Talk and Angry are two of the worst songs in the catalog of Paul McCartney. That includes all solo stuff, all Beatles, all Wings, anything. Those two are bottom of the barrel. But, you know, some of these other things bring it up to a 4.
There are a few gems, at least, on here. So, yeah. So there you have it. There's our...
I know friend of the show, Barnabas, is going to be unhappy with that review, probably. But
he will. But anyway, we would like to wish Press to Play a happy 30th birthday I don't know. Is this one ever going to come out on the McCartney reissues? Or is that going to be the last one, maybe? Or Wildlife? I don't know.
I don't know. And I don't even know the status of them. And we didn't get a release this year of it. And his catalog's with Capitol now. So who knows if it's even happening anymore. So.
That's true. Yeah,
They might restart it. And they might be, hey, should we do a Press to Play re-release or another Band on the Run?
Yeah, right.
You know, and I'm sure they'll start back from scratch before they dive back into Press to Play and some of these other ones that haven't, you know, come out, which is unfortunate in many cases, especially, you know, everybody's been lamenting the absence of Flowers in the Dirt.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't included on Pierre McCartney. So,
right. Well, and I think you're going to be excited for a Press to Play McCartney reissue because of all the bonus tracks that we'll get from it and the outtakes and alternate versions of Talk More Talk. And it's going to be
Spies Like Us.
Spies Like Us. It'll be very exciting. Yeah. But until then, we'll go out today with the aforementioned It's Not True, which was one of the bonus tracks. And we hope you've enjoyed the look at Press to Play. And we will be back with another episode soon.
People say she's a bad girl. Some people think she's a fool. Some people tell me she's no good, but I'm telling you, it's not true, it's not true, it's not true.